I'm very thankful for what God is doing in our midst. Amen? I'm very thankful for what God has done in our community, in our church, in your lives. I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for what God has done this past year in our community. And I am looking forward to 2014. I'm looking forward to it, I think, probably like most years, because for me, there is a sense of anticipation what God will do this year. Do you have that same anticipation? Looking forward to what God will do this year in your life, in your family, in our community, in our churches. If you're not from this church, in your church, I hope that you look forward with anticipation to what God is going to do in and through His people this year. I'm looking forward to it. Should the Lord Jesus tarry, I know He could return at any moment. I think the signs are clear that the return of the Lord Jesus is near. But who knows? With God, a thousand years is like a day, and so it might be 1,000 years. We don't know that. But should He tarry, brothers and sisters, there's work to do. There's still work to do. There's still souls to rescue, people to encourage, to come alongside and just be a shoulder to cry on. James says, perfect religion is this, to care for the widows and the orphans. So there's things to do. And so I'm looking forward to 2014 with anticipation. God, what will You do in our midst, in our families, in our communities, in our churches this year? One of the things that I've been thinking about as I've been contemplating that these last days is this. Have our decisions this last year, we're almost to close the book on this year already, have our decisions been Spirit-led decisions? Or do we just do things on a whim? Do we just do things because that's what society does? Or that's what somebody told me to do? And so I've been thinking about that. Have our decisions for 2013 been Spirit-led? But now that 2013 is almost to come to a close, more importantly perhaps, challenging me, my thought process today is, will my and will our decisions of 2014 be Holy Spirit inspired? Will they be Spirit led? And you might be thinking, well, Jim, what do you mean? Well, when we spend time in God's presence, and we're going to read some scripture here in a moment, and we're going to learn about a young fellow that spent time in God's presence. When we spend time in God's presence as individuals, of course we can do it for an hour on Sunday morning, but more importantly, as individuals in everyday living, when we spend time in God's presence, we're just going to get to know Him more. We're going to know His will for our lives more. We're going to be more in tune to the Holy Spirit's voice. And so when He challenges us to go, we know it's from God and we're just compelled to go. And so I'm thinking this morning, it's not quite 2014, but it's right around the corner. Will our decisions in 2014 be Spirit-led? And so, here's the story. It's from 1 Samuel 17. And I know that you know this story because it's a story of David and Goliath. I read 27 verses in the first sermon, first service this morning. I know 27 verses gets a little lengthy, and I may not read all them this time, because I'm pretty sure you know the story. But I want us to get the setting, and I want us to get the flavor of this story. Then I'll have some questions for us at the end of this story. The setting is this. Saul, the first king of Israel, is king. David has been anointed king in the prior chapter, but he's not taken control as king. He's still just a boy. As a matter of fact, when you look at the first part of 1 Samuel 17, he's still in the pasture tending his dad's sheep. The Israelite armies are at war with the Philistine armies. And so that's the setting here. Jesse, the earthly dad of David, has just said to David, go check on your brothers. Take them some provisions. Bring me word. So that's the setting. We're going to pick it up here. 1 Samuel 17. If you've got your Bible, I'm beginning at verse 20. If you don't have your Bible, it's on the big screen for you. So David rose early in the morning. He left the sheep with a keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then, as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. In other words, this Goliath guy came out on a daily basis shouting curses and obscenities and defying the armies of Israel. And so he came out one more time and did his thing, trying to ridicule and trying to harass and trying to scare them. And he was doing a pretty good job of it. He was fairly successful at that. So David heard them, the Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now we're going to read some more verses, but let me just pause and let us think about that statement for a moment. Why didn't the rest of the Israelite army think about that? Why didn't the rest of the army have the same feeling that David, this boy, had? Who is this clown defying God's people? Why didn't the rest of God's people feel that way? And the other question that might come to our mind is, who does this kid think he is? We might begin to think, this cocky young fella, who does he think he is? But I submit to you this morning, friends, I don't think this statement was made out of cockiness at all. Because you see, David had seen the hand of God. David knew what God was capable of. David had spent time with the Father. He had spent time enough in his presence that he knew when the Holy Spirit of God called him to act, he acted. I don't think this was a statement out of boastfulness. I think this was a statement out of confidence, who knew God well enough. He knew what God was calling him to do. No questions about it. No argument. He knew what God was calling him to do. And so with this question from this shepherd boy, the people answered him in this matter, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. And then we get to the part of the story where he encounters his oldest brother Eliab. And his brother's anger, the Bible says, was aroused against David. Why? Well, because this young fella, he's shooting off his mouth, thinking he's all that, boasting about this guy, when we're all turning tail and running from him every day. So his anger, the anger of his brother was kindled against, was aroused against David. And he said to David, why'd you even come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle. And so his brother mocked him for his bravery, thinking this is purely of pride. When the battle really comes into being, he's just going to run anyway. David responds. You can read that in 29. And David continued to inquire about this giant of a man. And the Bible says these words of David were reported to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. That's Goliath he's referring to. Your servant, he says to the king, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. You see, friends, that's a spirit-led decision. He knew he had been in touch with God enough. He had been in God's presence enough. He knew that God was calling him into the battle. And so he didn't say with arrogance to the king, I'll take care of it. He knew what God wanted him to do. This was a spirit-led decision. Because he had spent time with God, he knew God's will. Saul said to David in 33, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. The King James says, for you are just a boy. The New King James says, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Saul is saying, that doesn't compute. That doesn't weigh out. You're a little puny guy. And here's a 9-foot giant that's been fighting and killing people his whole life. But David was not deterred. The Bible said he said to Saul in 34, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard, and I struck and I killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And there it is again. David, this shepherd boy, has to remind the king what's going on here in a spiritual sense. He has defied the armies of the living God. It's time to do something about that. Saul, I guess, wasn't game for the project. But David, in his confidence in the Lord, said, just like the lion, just like the bear, this Philistine will be just like one of them. Because of what he said about God. And so as the story goes on, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And so you know the story. Saul straps on his armor, gives him his sword. David tries to walk, couldn't do it. So he took them all off, said, I'm not used to this stuff. I can't walk with these. So he took it all off, and he simply took his staff, his little shepherd's crook, his shepherd's staff, and he chose, the Bible says, for himself, you know the story, how it goes, 5 smooth stones, and he had in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch, he had his sling in his hand. And when he went out to meet this champion called Goliath, the Bible said the Philistine looked at him and saw David, and he disdained him. He despised his very appearance, because here was this little puny kid coming out to go after this 9-footer, this experience. And it says he despised him because this youth came out to battle with him. The Philistine shouts at David, am I a dog that you come out with against me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Well, David met the battle head on. He chose one of those little stones and put it in his sling, and the rest is history, as you know. But in David's response to him, before he sent the stone flying, he said this: God, in essence, God is going to give you into my hand. Why? That the earth may know there is a God in Israel. That's why. And then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And friends, I wonder this morning in 2014, wherever you come from, wherever your home is, wherever your community, wherever your church is, some of you are part of our church and some of you are part of another one, but I want us to think for a moment, in 2014, will people know there is a God in your community because of the Spirit-led decisions that you make every day? You see what David said here? He ain't taking no credit here. He's saying the earth will know there is a God in Israel because of what He has done. And I wonder if in 2014, will your community, will this community, will our neighbors, will our family know that there is a God that's very real in our lives? Because of the Spirit-led decisions, the Spirit-led language, the Spirit-led actions, the Spirit-led behaviors that we exhibit day in and day out of 2014. Will anybody know that there's a God in your life because of the Spirit-led things that you do? We see in this story that his brothers opposed him, mocked him. The king ridiculed his youthfulness. You're just a boy. You can't go out against this guy. And the giant despised him. And we can see he was young. We know he was inexperienced. We know he wasn't even a soldier. But friends, hear me on this if you hear nothing else. This is my point for 2014. When God leads you to something, when God calls you to something, when God beckons you come, it's time to go. It's time to act. It's time to respond, just like David did. And we can argue all day long, well, he wasn't qualified. Well, guess what? None of us are. We can argue all day long, I haven't studied up. I don't know how to tell anybody about Jesus. We can argue all day long, I'm too old, I'm too retired, I'm too tired, or I'm too busy, when God has called me. And those are just excuses. David could have made them too. The king could have said, you are not going. But the king just said, then have it your way. And David said, because of God, I will go. And it may seem like God has called you to do something as large as this 9-foot giant. It may be completely uncharacteristic of your abilities. This was a shepherd boy after all. It may be that you have this mountainous thing before you that you know God is calling you to, but you're saying in your mind, I'm not the right man. There's armies here. There's pastors there. There's whatever there. They are qualified. I am not. He is probably saying something to you that you can make all kind of excuses about. We could say just like the people that in the army, and we could turn tail and run, or we could take a stand like David and listen to the Holy Spirit's voice and go. We could listen to the voice of Jesus when He says, come follow me, and we could come. You say, Jim, I've been in church all my life. There's people sitting in churches everywhere, brothers and sisters, that have not made the decision to come follow Jesus. There are people in our communities everywhere There are people in our families. There are people that we work around that have yet to meet the Master. We exist as followers of Christ to be lights and salt for Jesus. That is a command. Jesus said, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Don't let that light go out. Don't cover it up. When you have put on Christ, it's time to shine for Christ. And when the Spirit calls us, we could say we got all kind of excuses. David could have too. But instead he said like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. David knew the Spirit's will. He knew the Father's will because he had spent time with God. And friends, if we are too busy to spend time with God, we're never going to hear the voice of God. If we are too busy to spend time in His Word, how are we going to know His will? The new year is a good time to commit to spending time with God. We make all kinds of resolutions. And after about 30 days, they crumble, and we didn't keep them up anyway. It's time to resolve and commit to spend time with God. Because when we spend time with God in His Word and in prayer, He's going to speak to us. He's going to speak to us through His Word. He's going to speak to us through His Spirit. David was a shepherd boy. Shepherds were looked down upon. I don't know why, but they were. Maybe they were dirty. Maybe they were crummily dressed. Maybe they were the poorest of the poor. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. It gave David time to spend with the Almighty. And he took advantage of it. And when he spent time with the Almighty, he knew the Almighty's will. And when the Almighty said to him, I've got a project for you. It may seem like a big one. He said, here I am, Lord, send me. The whole army probably thought, this kid is nuts. His family thought he was just some banty rooster. But if we spend time with God, we're going to hear His voice, and He may call us to something that seems like, well, it doesn't make much sense. David could have said when he got there that day and saw this mountain of a man, he said, you're the soldiers. What are you waiting for? Go get her done. He could have. Just like we oftentimes say, well, you're the preacher, or you're the qualified one, or you're the holy one. He didn't make excuses. It's easy for us to think it's someone else's job. But friends, I pray that in 2014, if God is calling us to something, you as an individual, you as a family, us as a church, we do it. Because it's God who's calling us. It's God who will equip us. And so let me just close, friends, with this. We're going to hear the voice of God when we spend time with God. We're going to hear and know the will of God when we spend time in His Word. I know for a fact God has a word for His people. The Bible is clear that we make up a body together with many different parts, and every part is valuable. Paul says this in the letter to the Corinthians, the one that seems weakest is indispensable. Can't do without it. I know this is what God would have us to do as a body of believers, to be the body together, listening to the voice of God, listening for His call, listening for His invitation, listening for His directive to go. That's what God would have us to do. And go maybe across the assembly line at work. Go maybe across the road to your neighbor. It may be to face a 9-foot giant. But when we're listening to the voice of God, when we spend time with God, we're going to hear the voice of God. And for some people, yes, even in the church, that voice is saying, come, follow me. You've been in church a good while now. Now it's time to be my follower. For some, even in the church house, that's the voice you're going to hear. Because we haven't surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We've been in church, we've done this, we've done that, but we haven't surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of us, that's the voice we're going to hear. And so I just pray, friends, that this 2014 is a great year for the Lord. Because His people, whatever church we make up, because His people are spending time with Him and hearing the voice of God. I pray that 2014, greater things than these that Jesus talked about, He will do in our midst because His people are responsive to the voice of God. Father, we praise You. You're so patient with us, long-suffering. Even when our ears are closed, Your hand of invitation is still out. Your hand of direction is still out. Forgive us, Lord, when our ears have been closed to Your Spirit's leading. God, this morning, I just know You're speaking to more hearts than just mine. You're speaking to some, come, follow me. You're speaking to some that will surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Being Your follower is not about church attendance or something else. It's about knowing You are God, knowing You are the Savior of humanity, knowing that we are a sinner and we need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. And inviting Him to come into our lives and take over. And so, Father, whatever word You have for me, whatever word You have for us today and this year, God, I pray that we have ears that hear. I pray that we respond like David, not a bit of wavering. Just go do it. The battle belongs to the Lord, He said. And the whole earth will know that there is a God in Israel because of this victory. Because one little shepherd boy was obedient and responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, may we be that obedient. May we be that faithful to You in 2014, O God. Let it begin with me, but may all of us, Heavenly Father, have a passion to be obedient, a surrender to You that's real, that's transformational. May it be so in 2014, O Father, we pray. Glorify Your name in us. As You glorified Your name in that shepherd boy David that day, we prayed in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.